Welcome back to Sports Byline USA, coast to coast, border to border, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. We are quite pleased to have in studio with us acclaimed filmmaker Julie Rubio. And Julie Rubio is here to talk about her new movie, which will be playing at the Mill Valley Film Festival. And that's going to be at the Lark Theater in Larkspur on Sunday, October 12th at 2 p.m. It's called The True Story of Tamara de Lempicka and the Art of Survival. Julie, welcome to the show. You directed it. You wrote it. You produced it. This was really a labor of love for you, wasn't it?
Hello, Rick, and thank you so much for having me. Yes, it's definitely a labor of love. This is something for probably the last 20 years I've been trying to get off the ground as a narrative. And then during the pandemic, during the lockdown, we went ahead and decided to go ahead and do a documentary with my co-producers, Amy Harrison and Svetlana Svetko and Neva Tassin. So could not have done this without my team and our other co-producer, Blake Welland. So it has been, yes, a labor of love. Absolutely.
And this is someone, and once I knew you were going to be on the show, I looked her up. I was very impressed of her. Is that one of the reasons you did it? Is because she's just not known as she should be?
She's known throughout the world, in Europe particularly. She's known in Japan. She's known in Korea. The United States is a little late to the game, but she's actually had many renaissance, so to speak, and she's definitely having a renaissance right now. There was just a Broadway play that came out with Eden Espinoza, who was nominated for a Tony Award. There is the exhibition that is up at the De Young Museum, which we will also be playing at and screening our film in January on the 11th. And there is obviously our movie at Mill Valley. So Mill Valley is, I'm so happy because, you know, we're local and Mill Valley is a really esteemed, great festival and puts on some extraordinary movies. And to be part of that, I'm really, our whole team is very honored.
So she had a very polished Art Deco style. She did Aristocrats and Wealthy. She did Nudes as well. And then after World War II, Art Deco kind of didn't get rediscovered until the 60s, if I'm right.
Late 60s, yes.
So why is it that now, through the efforts of people like you, obviously, but why is it now that she's having this another renaissance, as you say?
I think that her art always spoke to the future. If you look at that, at her art, I mean, she's one of the very first women to ever paint nudes. So she really always was cutting edge and breaking down glass ceilings and not afraid to be avant-garde, not afraid to be other, not afraid to be different. You know, in the United States, as Matt Gold says, you know, we are, he's the creator of the Lempicka musical. He said that, you know, we say that we are a melting pot in the United States, but really we don't necessarily like anyone that's quite not, you know, within that box. Mm-hmm. And so she was other in so many ways. She was Jewish. She was a single mother throughout her life off and on. And she also was bisexual. And so she was other in so many ways. And in during a time where you could be executed, you could be exterminated for being other. And, you know, it's such a relevant story in that here we have so many refugees throughout the world again. We have two wars going on. You know, it's a very political, crazy time. And art reflects, politics, unfortunately. People don't like to mix the two, but it obviously does. Art is a way for us to digest the horrific things that are going on within society. So the way she portrays it and the beautiful style that she has allows us to swallow some of the pain. And, you know, she had to pass in so many ways. She had to pass. So she was painting religious figures, and she wasn't religious. She was Jewish, and she was pretending not to be a Jewish because mm-hmm. of the time that she lived through, because she would have been killed. So she was a survivor. And like I said, a single mother, so many different times in her life, and the breadwinner throughout her life. And she's really, I think, an inspiration to women. So I think this is a time for women again. You know, we have... our very first, you know, well, second woman that's ever, you know, but she's qualified woman to, that's going to run for the White House for president. And, you know, whatever your politics are, to have a woman, you know, at this time that's running for the White House for our little girls, for old women like me, I think we sit back and we say, oh my God, is that really a possibility? And I think Tamara Dylan Pica's art showed us, you know, women weren't driving. They had just started driving during that time. And here she's painting herself in a Bugatti, and she didn't drive a Bugatti, you know, and she's showing us what the future could be. And she was she was a draftswoman. She was absolutely technically trained, and you could not, you know, maybe someone didn't like, maybe they called her work perverse, or she was considered too risque. But at the end of the day, when you saw her work, there was no one, male or female, there was no one that could deny that she was classic, that she was trained, and that she had that technical eye, and that she was qualified to be there, to be at that playing field that really pretty much only men were allowed to be doing at the time. So she's brave, because she could have been killed for some of the choices that she did.
By the way, if you're old, you're fooling everybody. By the way.
Thank you.
So, two-part question. Number one, is this someone that you have admired your whole life, or did she come to you rather recently? And then secondly, as you researched her, what did you find out about her? Because I'm sure you got to know her through this way intimately. What did you find out about her that you found very admirable that you didn't know?
Well, first of all, she had, historically, there's a lot of books and a lot of people that have gotten it wrong.
In what way?
Well, for instance, her name. Her real name was not Tamara Rosalia Gorick-Gorska. Her real name was Tamara Rose Horowitz.
Right. Jewish name.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And her family had converted from Judaism to Calvinism. And so I've been studying her for over 20 years, trying to get the narrative made, mm-hmm. Which is really difficult for a female director, as well as trying to get the funding for a period piece. So pretty impossible, so to speak. And so being able to do the documentary and being able to have that kind of freedom to really dig in even more with research, finding out that she had a different birthday, that she was born 4 years earlier, not in 1898, but in 1894. Finding out where she was actually, her family was buried in the Jewish cemetery, and being able to go get that footage and being able to capture that and share it with her family, mm-hmm. which their hair blew back.
So they were on board. They're not like saying you're doing it wrong. They're so excited that you were doing
it. I mean, there were times we hit heads. I mean, it's a documentary. It has to be organic. It has to be real. It has to come from a authentic place. And so, yeah, there were times that maybe they didn't want me quite to say something a particular way. But, you know, my other interview came out that way, or my research proved that to be true. But at the end of the day, I think they're very pleased with the documentary, and mm-hmm. I think that it does show her in a positive light, only because that's who she really was. So she's been over-sexualized. She's been she's been marginalized in the United States. And like you said, she's had her ebbs and flows with popularity. I mean, mm-hmm. Madonna's a huge collector. Barbra Streisand helped me for over many months and guided me through her section. She's a big collector, and she helped us with high resolutions that are actually in the film. Angelica Houston also helped with telling stories of when she was with Jack Nicholson and wearing, Jack gave her Tamar's jewelry because she had starred in a play in Los Angeles that ended up going to Broadway called Tamara, that the living movie, that he felt that she would love the jewelry. So he gave her the jewelry and the dress, and she wore that to the Academy Award the night that she won for Pritzi's Honor and for Best Producer and Actress. So badass women, amazing people that have supported the film. And as each and every one of them have shared something with me, I've learned a lot more about her and become very fond of her.
Before I let you go, as a native of the East Bay, I got to tell you, I loved East Side Sushi. I've been to that restaurant many times. They're on Lakeshore. And of course, you changed the name for the film. But it was just such a great Oakland movie, too, to take the Latina essence and the Asian essence. And it was just very well done.
Oh, thank you so much. That also.
Saw it in the theater.
Oh, good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you see it at the Grand?
I did see it at the Grand. 10 years ago, was it?
Yeah. It was definitely a labor of love. And somebody actually wrote me yesterday and said that she originally saw it on HBO, and then she just saw it again the other day, and she wrote me saying, I absolutely, you know, love the film, and thank you so much for making this film. And I actually thought, wait, you know, so a friend of mine were kind of bitching about the industry and how hardcore the industry is right now. It's just a much changing and very trippy within the industry. And why do we do this? You know, as women, you know, we don't get funded the same as men. We don't, you know, we're not, there's not equity there. You know, we are very, you know, coming to the realization that this is an uphill battle for us. And then you get an email like that and you think, you know what, maybe we help change the world in little ways throughout our lives, and we leave something like Tamara DeLampica did to the world.
Excellent interview with our guest, Julie Rubio. She produced, she directed, and she wrote the movie The True Story of Tamara DeLampica and the Art of Survival, and it will have its world premiere at the Sequoia Cinema in Mill Valley on October 11th and on the 12th at the Lark Theater at 2 p.m., part of the Mill Valley Film Festival. Julie, thanks for coming in.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And I just want to say one last thing. I could not have done this without my family, my friends, my crew, my cast. Even my son has worked on this film as additional editing and associate producer Elijah Savina. And Larson and Associates supporting us and setting this up today. So thank you. And thank you for sharing this with the world.
And you'll come in on your next movie.
Hell yeah.
Right,
if I can get funding.
All right. I'm Rick Siddle. We'll take a quick break. We will come on back on Sports Byline.